Hello there, I'm Femi Oke, here with Todd Zwillick this morning. Now, as foreclosure rates across the nation skyrocket to record-breaking levels, the image of a boarded-up home is becoming a more common feature on many landscapes. Now, this morning, we were inspired by our partner, the New York Times. They have a story today that focuses on organisations who are getting people back into their homes for free. Joining us on the line is Max Rimeau. He's part of a grassroots organisation called Take Back the Land. It places homeless families in houses that have been foreclosed upon. Good morning, Max. Tell us exactly what you're doing and how you do it.
Well, what we do is we identify vacant government-owned and foreclosed homes. We scout them. We look at them for, you know, the kind of conditions that they're in. We open them, and we move homeless families into people's homes. We match up those homes with people who don't have anywhere else to stay, and we move them in.
It's quite a calculated process. You even do sort of applications, interviews, some kind of vetting. Tell me more details about that.
Well, we have certain criteria that we have around the homes that we move people into. We only do foreclosed homes. We don't do the homes that are individually owned. They have to be in good condition so that it really is a step up from the street, not like a vertical step. So we have all kinds of rules around the homes that we choose. In addition, we have rules around the families. We interview the families. We do move in families, not individuals. But also, on top of that, we won't move anyone in who has any conditions which could be exacerbated by them being in a home alone. For example, drug addiction or severe mental health issues. We also require the families to keep on the electricity and the water, and require them to be good neighbors. We tell them they have to say hi to their neighbors. They have to say good morning, good evening. They can't make too much noise, things like that. Because we're trying not only to improve the lives of the individuals who we're moving in, but also of the community into which we're moving them.
You helped a family called the Trody family. I'm just going to listen into a little bit of a clip from Mary Trody. Have a listen to this.
February the 20th, they baked us out. We went to a parking lot of a supermarket, and we slept in the truck. 3 days later, on February the 23rd, Take Back the Land brought us back in.
Tell us more about Mary Trody and her situation and how she came to find you.
Well, Mary Trody actually is a longtime community activist. She's been involved in her community for a long period of time. And, of course, a very close-knit family. Her husband lost her job as part of the newspaper's, downsizing. And so as a result, they were kicked out of their apartment while he was out of work for several months. And she moved in with her mother and her two children, her two teenage children, and then her adult daughter. The same thing happened to her family, and they moved in as well. So in the meantime, the Trodys were able to both of them find work. Her husband found her work again with another newspaper, or with the same newspaper, and she found work working night shifts at a grocery store. And yet Mary's mother lost her home to a fraudulent refinance scheme. So she was a victim of fraud. And so they were all kicked out. It was 12 people living in one home. And three separate families, really. But she's a wonderful person, and they're a very close-knit family, and they want to stay close together. And they're just in a tough situation. They're really victims of this time.
Well, Mark, you're moving families like the Trodys into foreclosed homes. What kind of reaction do you get from the banks that own these homes? What have they been saying? What kind of pushback do you get?
Well, we haven't gotten really too much pushback. First of all, we don't announce it to the banks, generally speaking. But, however, in certain cases, when the families are found there, such as the Trody's case where they were actually evicted from the home a few days prior to us moving back into the home, obviously we let the bank know because there was no, at that point, benefit to having them there without knowing. And the police came. They looked around. They asked questions, and the police left. So the Trody's moved into that home in January, and they're there right now.
Max, what you're doing is not legal. You're basically organizing squatting. What laws are you breaking?
Well, I'm not a lawyer, so I don't know. I certainly don't want to give legal advice here on the radio. But our primary concern to Take Back the Land is not so much what is legal and illegal, but what is moral and immoral. And there's plenty of times in this country it would have been illegal for me as a black person to do all kinds of mundane things, including sit at a certain place on a bus or eat at a inside of a restaurant rather than the back parking lot. So we think that the laws do not always keep up with the times or with the moral imperatives of the time. And I think this is just one of those cases where we have laws which are protecting banks that are getting billions of dollars of bailout money from the people who don't have anywhere to live. So this doesn't make sense in any respect. And we think that homes, houses, should be primarily and fundamentally for human beings, not as profit centers for corporations. And we think we need to see that shift in people's minds, and then a shift in public policy, and ultimately a shift where this kind of thing is either legal or not needed.
Max Rimeau from Take Back the Land. I'm going to move a little bit further away to Northeast Ohio to talk to Brian Davis from the Coalition for the Homeless. Good morning, Brian. Are you there?
Yes, good morning.
Now, you're doing something quite similar to Max, but you're trying to do it legally. What's your plan for Cleveland?
Well, we have about 10,000 abandoned houses in Cleveland, and we're having about 1,000 foreclosures per month. So we actually have about three times the number of houses than we have homeless people. We're trying to just pilot a project to take a few of those houses before they get destroyed, before the wrecking ball comes in, provide them to homeless people who have some skills, who can fix up the property, and then eventually they would be turned over to them after they meet housing quality standards.
Now, you're trying to do this legally, trying to get some money together. How much money do you need for your project?
Well, we're just going to pilot something, so we figure that we need about $150,000 to put the major systems back in the house and then have the homeless do the other parts of the renovation.
What are the pitfalls here for you along the way? Because you haven't done it yet. So what are going to be the issues for you, the challenges for getting this done? It makes good sense for people who don't have homes, but are you getting any pushback?
Well, it's an innovative process, and so most of the thinking right now is, why don't we just clear the land, destroy the buildings, and then start fresh? And most of the pushback from the banks are, you know, we don't want to damage our assets that we have. Even though they're sitting vacant and they're not being used, they want to try to clear them off their books as fast as possible. So we're trying to, you know, just show that this can work on a larger scale. Can we just be given a chance to do it on a small scale?
Well, Max, in Miami, let me ask you, you're listening to this. You're listening to Brian. What do you think of the strategy that he's using up in Cleveland?
I think it's a wonderful strategy. I think we need to use all the strategies possible to put human beings back into housing. I do think this seems to be a common sense approach to it. It seems like everyone wins in this, and yet it's not happening. And the reason it's not happening, of course, is because the banks want to make as much profit as they possibly can at the end of this economic cycle. So as long as we still have a need for some of these other ways of doing things, then we're going to, you know, people are going to continue to do them. So just so it's clear, while we're doing this kind of in an organized fashion, squatting right now is rampant throughout the country, particularly in Ohio. So I think what Brian's doing is great and needs to be done, but clearly it's not using up all the space.
Max, I'm going to bring into our conversation, you mentioned the national perspective, and for that, just to wrap us up, Michael Stoops, he's the executive director of the National Coalition for the Homeless. So good morning to you, Michael. What Max is doing in Miami and what Brian is hoping to do in Cleveland, how widespread is this organized squatting around the country?
What Max and Brian are doing in both Miami and Cleveland are like role models for the rest of the country. There are individuals and activist groups like Take Back the Land in other cities around this country that are doing exactly what is happening in Miami, and that's something that we very much support. 44% of the nation's homeless are unsheltered, and we need to get homes for all of our homeless individuals.
Michael, if people are interested in trying to get into a home for free, what advice would you give them? How do they get in touch with you?
I would get in touch with the National Coalition for the Homeless. Our website is nationalhomeless.org. And we can put them in touch with folks like Brian in Cleveland or Max in Miami or in cities nationwide. Squatting is definitely a trend, is happening, and we must find homes for our nation's homeless.
Michael Stoops is the Executive Director of the National Coalition for the Homeless. Thanks for joining us this morning. Also on the line, we have Brian Davis, the Executive Director for the Northeast Ohio Coalition for the Homeless. Thank you to you, Brian. And at the top, we had Max Rameau with Take Back the Land. Thank you very much, Max, Brian, and Michael.